Today, this could be a crunch week for markets. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is posted covering finance and property news. Well, this week we get central bank decisions from the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve and the Bank of Japan. And the European Central Bank delivered the 10th consecutive rate hike last week, although signalled that perhaps the peak may have now been reached. And we'll also get further floods of data. And we know that central bankers are being data dependent, perhaps too much so. For example, a Bank of Canada official said she sees evidence higher rates are working to cool the economy, blaming a hotter than expected inflation reading on monthly volatility driven in part by energy and rental costs. The Deputy Governor was speaking on Tuesday after data showed the Consumer Price Index rose 4% in August and said the ups and downs in the pace of inflation in the past couple of months are not that unusual. It was a second straight increase in the headline rate, which climbed to 3.3% in July from 2.8% a month earlier, after falling steadily from a peak of 8.1% in June 2022. Recent data has provided evidence that our policy rate increases are slowing demand. Household credit growth has eased as the impact of higher rates restrains spending among a wide range of borrowers, she said, and we are mindful that past increases in interest rates will continue to weigh on activity. Her comments suggest that policymakers are still likely comfortable staying on the sidelines after holding the policy interest rate at 5% on September the 6th, opting to wait and assess the impact of the aggressive tightening cycle. Both inflation and inflation expectations have come down, and excess demand in the economy is easing, and our past policy actions will continue to have an effect as they work their way through the economy, she said. Still, the Deputy Governor reiterated that officials are prepared to raise policy rates further if needed. And recent consumer price data indicated that inflationary pressures are still broad-based, she said, and underlying inflation has experienced little recent downward momentum. Asked about the surprise jump in yearly headline inflation in a Q&A session after the speech, she said that the data can be really volatile from month to month, amid flagging the impact of rising oil prices and rental costs. In a speech, she outlined the pandemic paradox, a combination of elevated savings and pent-up demand that leaves some households less sensitive to higher borrowing costs. We don't set our policy based on what is happening to one subset of households or to the price of any one good or service, but we do our best to understand what is going on at a detailed level, she said. This helps us to do a better job of forecasting where the economy is likely to be headed and helps us balance the risks. And she said very strong consumption growth in the first quarter reflected pent-up demand for services, delayed delivery of some pre-ordered durable goods, and unexpectedly strong population growth. In the second quarter, though, a marked weakening in consumption growth and a decline in housing activity contributed to a sharp slowing of economic growth. We know that if we don't do enough, we're likely to have to do even more later, she said, and if we do tighten too much, we risk unnecessarily hurting the economy. And in the UK, data released earlier on Wednesday showed that UK consumer inflation rose 0.3% on the month in August, with the year-on-year headline figure unexpectedly falling to 6.7% from 6.8% in July. The Office for National Statistics said the fall was driven by a drop in hotel prices and airfares, which are often more volatile, and by food prices rising by less than at the same time last year. High energy prices had been expected to prompt a jump to 7%. And while the Bank of England is still widely expected to announce another 25 basis point increase in interest rates when they meet on Thursday, slowing growth could mean that the UK Central Bank also signals that the end of its rate hiking cycle is not far away. Now, turning to the Federal Reserve in the US, of course, they announced that there was no increase in the Fed funds rate this time around, although Powell, in his commentary, did make the point that rates will need to stay higher for longer, and there is still a certain percentage probability of rates going higher as well. The markets reacted by putting the two-year bond rate significantly higher, higher than it's been for a long, long time, which suggests once again that the markets now believe rates will be higher for longer. So there is no short circuit here to lower rates. A lift is still expected by a minority of analysts as uncertainty reigns over what the Fed will do in following meetings this year, especially as rising energy prices threaten to lead to an unwelcome return of elevated inflation. And by the way, the People's Bank of China earlier on Wednesday held its benchmark loan prime rate at record lows as it attempts to strike a balance between supporting an economic recovery and stemming further weakness in the yuan. And in corporate news, data released on Wednesday showed that EU car sales grew 21% in August. That's the 13th consecutive month of sales growth as the auto industry recovers from pandemic-related supply chain issues. Just over one in five new cars sold in the European Union in August was fully electric, as sales of zero-emission models more than doubled, the European Automobile Manufacturers Association said. And oil prices fell on Wednesday, retreating from 10-month highs as markets digested a forecast of a large drawdown in US crude inventories ahead of the Federal Reserve's interest rate decision. Data from the industry body, the American Petroleum Institute, released on Tuesday, indicated that US crude inventories fell by about 5 million barrels last week, and the official data is due out later. Yet despite this hefty draw, traders are taking some profits after worries of a substantial supply deficit this year has sent prices soaring to their highest levels since November last year. Oil crude prices were last trading 1% lower, and Brent was following suit. And more broadly, the world economy is set for a slowdown as interest rate increases weigh on activity, and China's pandemic rebound disappoints, the OECD said this week. Growth will ease to 2.7% in 2024 after an already subpar expansion of 3% this year, according to their latest forecasts. With the exception of 2020, when COVID struck, that would mark the weakest annual expansion since the global financial crisis. While high inflation continues to unwind, the world economy remains in a difficult place, OECD chief economist Claire Lombardi said at a news conference on Tuesday. We're confronting the double challenges of inflation and low growth. The Paris-based organization warned that risks to its predictions are tilted to the downside, as past rate hikes could yet have a stronger impact than expected, and inflation may prove persistent, requiring further monetary tightening. It called China's struggle a key risk for output around the world. After a strongly expected start to 2023, helped by lower energy prices and the reopening of China, global growth is expected to moderate, the OECD said. The impact of tighter monetary policy is becoming increasingly visible. Business and consumer confidence have turned down, and the rebound in China has faded. This gloomy outlook will test central bankers as the effect of their inflation fighting to date continues to feed through to the economy, and politicians fret that activity is being choked. The OECD cautioned against easing up, with core price gains remaining stubborn in many countries, even as headline gauges head lower. There's limited scope for any rate cuts until well into 2024, it said. Monetary policy needs to remain restrictive until there are clear signs that underlying inflation pressures have durably abated, the OECD said. And the 25% rise in oil prices since May has also led to inflation ticking up in some countries, depending on their exposure and whether they are importers or exporters of the fossil fuel. That is obviously unwelcome, the OECD said. Oil prices will continue to be potentially volatile through this period. That's why we've highlighted this as one of the risks. The impact obviously will be, as we've learned, a squeezing on household budgets and on demand. And that's really the point. There are so many cross currents here and so many uncertainties. And it could well be that if in fact central bankers do lift rates, that could be enough to spook the markets, who of course have been holding faith for some time that rates are going to go down from this point. But the level of uncertainty is so high that is certainly by no means certain. As I say, this week is a very important one for the future direction of markets worldwide. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.